Welcome to Sports 1140
AHD. Good morning, good morning.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
Put the top down.
Good morning.
Fair doesn't matter. It's stupid.
Welcome to the drive.
New morning, team.
Now shut up and drive.
Attacking one of the mill morning shows
with Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Kenny Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on a mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
I am not driving no minivan.
Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Hey there. Hi there. Oh there. 6:02 on KHDK. Katie, you finally got your wish. Here we are, Wednesday, May the 4th, day of our Lord. Whatever. You finally got Dave out of the room.
I did. You know what?
Just you and me today, girl. You ready for it?
It's like the inmates running the asylum.
It's gonna be nuts. We got you right up till 9 o'clock. Dave, he's doing okay. He's just suffering from post-party hangover from his beloved Warriors last night and their comeback win over the Blazers. Dave will be just fine. Don't worry about him. But we're gonna take you right up till 9 o'clock today, and we got a full show for you. Scott Bear is gonna finally break down that Raiders draft for you. That's coming up at 8:10. 8:30, we'll have Brian Callen on. He's doing the podcast with the UFC guy. I have some more information on that, but we're kind of flying here. And so we're going to have Brian Callen on. We'll talk some funny stuff with him, Katie. You ready?
Funny stuff,
you
always.
You got jokes?
I'm literally the funniest person on the show.
That's fact. But that's only if I'm allowed to be the body still. So we got plenty of sports, too. I mean, in case you missed it last night. Starting off with a thriller early on up in Toronto. Heat, Raptors going at it in game one. Things looked like they were getting a little bit wild. The Heat looked like they were going to be able to take it. And then Kyle Lowry, he went out and he went ahead and did his thing.
Lowry, prayer shot. Lowry, got it! Lowry ties the game! And we're going to overtime as Miami has let it slip away. And we're going to OT.
Unbelievable shot. He was more than half court away, and the referees rule it
more than half court.
Unbelievable. This place has gone bonkers.
Now, that old guy that's the Raptors Radio Network, by the way. That just kind of sounds like a guy that...
He was more than half court away.
Yeah. Actually, that was the Heat call, by the way. No wonder they sounded so despondent. Let's catch the tail end of that again. He sounded bewildered, the older fella.
Away, and the referees rule more than half court. Away, and the referees rule it good. Unbelievable. This place has gone bonkers.
So he's losing.
Bonkers.
All right. So at that point, you're thinking the Raptors, they're back on top, right? You're feeling pretty good about them.
Well, it's always good when you have the momentum going into overtime.
Mm-hmm. Home team, overtime, higher seed in the playoffs. That's usually a good thing. Well, the Heat, they've got this guy that's done that before, Katie. You've heard of him, maybe, Dwayne Wade.
Yes. Five on the shot clock. Wade.
I know
into
him.
The paint. Wade, step back, fade away. Got it! Wade, Miami's hit three here in overtime.
Go ahead.
He looks so much, I mean, seriously, like, he's one of those guys where coming into the season, I was like, not really sure how much time D. Wade has left.
A lot of miles really, on those tires.
And I don't feel like he looked all that great last year. But he has been with Chris Bosh out so much, and he's like the one remaining kind of name on that team. He's kind of carried them throughout the season, and he's had to do it during the playoffs too.
Favorite part of the playoffs for me is seeing those guys like that. I brought it up here before, but overtime, it's going to be Dwayne Wade time in a game like that. Yeah. And you give him time off between games, and you see the guy looks like he's young again.
You know what? They never would have gone to overtime if Chris Bosh was on the floor.
That's a good point.
What's the Heat doing?
I know.
What are they even doing?
An interesting situation there that we'll cover a little bit later on, too. Chris Bosh, he wants to play. The Heat could use him. We'll tell you why he's not. But there was some other playoff action, too. The Heat able to get that win last night in overtime up in Toronto. I lost my mind when Kyle Lowry hit that shot. I was a little...
I know. We were on the text thread last night, and you did. You lost your mind.
Whoa! It was like the Northern Iowa guy. You're just not expecting... You know the shot's going to get up.
Yeah.
But Lowry gets the ball in bounds.
More than half court away.
More than half court away. Well, and I mean, he pretty much, like, dribbled it soccer style up to half court too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, gets it in, he kicks it all the way up.
It wasn't
there.
It wasn't the prettiest of plays in terms of how it developed, and you're like, oh, no shot. Okay, it was good.
So this is now how many in a row game ones that Toronto have lost in the playoffs? I mean, first off, this is the first time they made it to the second round since 2001.
Yeah. Was it Sam Mitchell who was the coach then? Who was the Raptors coach?
Oh, it probably was. That's a great question.
And that's the crazy thing, because the last couple years, and they have one of the best guard duos, I think, in the game right now. Mm-hmm. And they've underperformed where they come out of the gates and they do so well in the season. And then the last couple of months, they start to kind of peter out. And of course, it messes with their playoff seeding and whatnot. And as good as they are, they haven't had a lot of great success in the playoffs. So they finally make it to the second round. And, you know, Lowry, great shot. But you have to actually win it in overtime, too.
What do you think it is about that Raptors team? I don't want to take anything away from Lowry and DeRozan, because, I mean, what, as far as guard duos go, you got Steph and Clay, they're kind of on a different planet, but Lillard, McCollum, and then DeRozan, Lowry, I mean, I would put those guys ahead of Lillard and McCollum.
Yeah, and then, you know, Bradley Beal
and Wall.
And John Wall in Washington are another one. That those four, it's kind of, they shift and back and forth into the top three duos, and obviously Steph and Clay. But I actually think my favorite one is Lillard and McCollum. Like, I think that they're the most impressive. And you have to take Curry and Thompson out of even contention.
Right. That's kind of like the MVP talk. Yeah. Like, Steph's going to get it, so let's
but
talk about everybody else.
But we're more interested in who was number two.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Same reason we spent a bunch of time talking about Terry Stotts with Coach of the Year.
Yes.
Like, yeah, Kerr's going to get it, but come on, look at what Terry's done. And he had his guys prepared last night. They turned in a pretty good effort. They were up 13 after one quarter, right?
Yes, and they played really well for three quarters. Really well.
I'm forgetting the number off the top of my head. What were they? It wasn't 18 after three quarters, but it was a pretty big number.
It was a big
number. It was
number.
Double digits. It was eight at halftime. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum doing their thing a little bit, but that's when the Warriors came storming back, thanks to Klay Thompson, my favorite player.
Livingston between the circles, finds Klay Thompson, turns and fires. Three ball, good! And for the first time all night, Golden State's got the lead!
I think their biggest lead was 11, I think, in the third.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Biggest lead in the – yeah. No, you're right. It was 17.
17.
Yep, 17.
And then Klay Thompson, who has decided to, after my comments the other day, that I just didn't think he's basically just said, dude, in your face. Because Katie, I was thinking about this, and Klay Thompson, to me, throughout this season, had always been had a lot more Peja in him. And I mean that by, you know, Peja was a very good player, but he was the guy that you could count on. His 30 points would come against Atlanta.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he was, and in the playoffs, you know, Rick Fox would give him trouble. You know, very good player that was still just, like, not quite good enough. You know, if he was the man on the team, you're not going to be great, but he can carry you certain games.
Well, it's interesting.
I thought Klay was more that guy, and instead he's saying, no, dude, I'm a dude.
And that's the thing. It's like, when you look at the games, gosh, because I'll never forget that Kings game when he went off, what was it, the third quarter and had
37
points. And he absolutely is one of the top players in this league. But it's interesting when you have two of them on the same team, that second guy, which in this, you know, scenario is
Klay
Thompson. Yeah, but I he's so good even on this team. You have to wonder, what would he be like if he was the guy on another team? And this is where things get interesting, because they have so much success. But a guy like Klay, is there ever going to be a time where he's like, you know what? I've won here. Mm-hmm. We're really good. But I want the opportunity to be the guy. And that's one of those things where other teams are going to be willing to kind of plant that seed when it comes to free agency and things like that. Because it's like, man, you know, he's even said it before. He's like, I'm a better shooter than Steph is. I'm like, wow, that's a bold move on your part. Nice of him to think that.
Good to have that confidence.
But who knows? Hey, maybe he is. Maybe he is. And he's just... he's just the secondary guy because...
Well, Steph's a bully. That's why. Let's
face it. Yeah, absolutely. Most unlikable guy in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you could see it. I think they need that. But, hey, here's the thing. The Warriors do need Steph Curry. They need him desperately. And maybe not to win, but they do need him for one reason. And I tell you what that is when we come back. It's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK. Grant yanking your chain a little bit, kids. No Dave today. He's out nursing himself back to health. It's okay. We'll have him tomorrow. Everything's good.
He tried really hard.
He did, actually.
But you know what?
He's so sad.
I mean, he came to work when he had pneumonia, right? Uh-huh. It takes a lot to keep him out. A migraine is no joke. He ran into the tree in the hallway, and I was like, oh, it's donezo.
He couldn't put together a sentence when he was in here.
It was bad.
And he does the, I mean, he gets kind of so shaky and unconfident with what he's saying. Because he comes in, he goes, hey, man, you know, I'm really sorry to do this to you. It's about 5:40 at this point. Yeah. I'm really sorry to do this to you, but what's your confidence level? I'm like, oh, 110, Dave.
What are we talking about?
Out of about 400 or 500, maybe. It's like, Dave, come on. And I'm just thinking, whatever, man. And he goes out, he does his thing, and then he comes back. He goes, hey, I didn't mean to sound condescending with the whole what's your confidence level. I'm like, dude, just get the hell out of here and come back tomorrow.
I knew something was wrong when he came in first thing this morning, and you and I are sitting in here, and we made a joke, and he just pulled the...
He just stared at you.
You know, he was not having it.
He was kind of an
a-hole.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh. He never pulls that out.
Back to the look of yesterday when you told him you didn't care about Paul McCartney. And it's just like you pulled his soul out through his, I don't know, out through his toes or something.
You know what, though? Our bet now is null and void.
That's what I was gonna say.
Little side bet.
I lost something on this because, of course, today is Star Wars Day. And that's not, I know.
Anything you or I care about.
Matt's acknowledging it, but of course the joke, it's May 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
So it's like Seth with an F, Curry, and Dave, I think...
is a geek, a Star Wars geek.
The thing is, like, Dave, with his speech pattern, I'm not sure that he actually realizes that today is not May 4th. He just says it May 4th.
Yeah.
So we had a bet that I said, listen, straight out of the gate, I text Katie yesterday. I was like, I'm not sure if you know about this Star Wars thing, but I'm telling you right now, Dave will bring it up in the first segment of the show. And if he doesn't, whatever you want, $20, breakfast, whatever it might be. She's like, all right, I'll take that.
And we had another one this morning before he came in. What are the odds of him wearing a Star Wars shirt?
Mm-hmm.
And
Katie says, sure thing. He's definitely wearing a Star Wars shirt.
I mean, this is a man that wears kitty cat t-shirts. Yeah. So when that should have been the indication something was wrong when he walked in and had on the Vegas Summer League champion t-shirt. And we're like, oh, man, this is all bad right now.
he wears that out. I think that
I was like, did you buy that? He's like, yeah. I was like, okay.
I'm shaking my head. You can't hear my head rattle.
Yeah. You're like, no way he paid for that.
It's like, Dave, they should hang that next to the Pacific Division champion banner, right?
He's like, above it.
I don't know. I'd like to hear how you feel on that, the whole idea of hanging Pacific Division championship banners.
Yeah.
But that's a broad-ranging topic because right now I don't have access to the drum roll, so you're going to have to help me out because we got the word that pays here, the hours. Do you actually know what the number is? Because I got this one. I'm ready for that. But no, I got the word here. So if you're ready, this hour's code word. Are you ready? Should I make you guess?
Make me guess.
Okay. I'm not good at doing this. Before you run, you have to...
stretch.
No.
Tire shoelaces? It's a word here, folks. Okay.
Walk.
Bingo.
There you go, Matt George.
This hour's code word is walk. W-A-L-K, not the noodle pan. Text WALK to 80787 or enter online at khdk.com by the end of this hour. Message and data rates may apply. Text you back to confirm your entry, and one randomly selected nationwide entrant will win $1,000. $1,000. All entries will also qualify for a $25,000 grand prize.
It's happened. We've had a winner from here. Brian and Dixon.
The classic cider
I'd take $1,000 for just sending a text.
For a text. As long as you send it to the right one, that's 80787. You can do 44-11-40. I'm not reading the text line today.
We're still getting those, by the way. Yesterday I saw it, and it's like, okay, it says, we will text you back.
Who does? Nobody does.
No text back. Okay. Yeah.
Well, call us. We'll talk to you on the phone. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Reaction to last night's playoff games. The Warriors and the Blazers, Katie. No surprise, really, I would say that the Blazers or that the Warriors came back in that game, even though
no,
the Blazers were playing really
that.
Well. Right. When it rains, it pours a little bit. As soon as the Warriors got it within single digits, you felt it coming, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing about the Warriors is that even without Steph Curry, I mean, they have so many weapons on that team. Mm-hmm. And you just they've achieved the status where when they get down, it's like, it doesn't matter.
You know it's coming.
Good luck. Good luck with this. Don't get too comfortable with your lead ever. They had a 17-point lead over the Warriors. Didn't matter.
Did not matter.
You'd have to build up like a 40-point lead and take that going into the fourth quarter to maybe feel comfortable.
No kidding. Well, and I mean, all that being said, Portland played well enough that, they're down 0-2, but they are going home now. Klay Thompson with 27 points last night. And the big thing that I was thinking is, all right, the Steph Curry's status is up in the air, right? But they've talked about him maybe coming back for game three. That's been in and out all over the place. They're winning. It's no problem. But you know what I noticed last night? They might not need him to win this series.
Yeah.
They might not even need him to get through the Western Conference Finals. But you know what they need him for, Katie? Is to be likable.
Generable likability.
They need him
yes.
to be a likable team. I spent all season drooling over this squad because Steph Curry is a superhuman comic book hero cheat code of a basketball
right.
player. And without him on the floor, what I notice is that Draymond Green maybe is the most punchable player in the NBA. Maybe. Right?
I'm going to throat punch you.
I just, there's
tell
just
him Darla sent you.
Right. Exactly. I mean, the guy, he never stops talking. He's at one point, he leans over last night. The Warriors are on a run, and he's over at Terry Stotts' face going, you better call a timeout. It's like, man, I hate being like radio tough guy. I'm just saying, if I'm on the Blazers, I'm going over to Draymond on my way to my bench. I'm going, dude. Get to your seat.
Right.
Head on over there.
So that's
Get
the thing about
bench.
Draymond Green is not only does he run his mouth, and I've had an issue with him for a while now in terms of the way that he speaks to the officials. I think that they give him so much leeway, mm-hmm. and I hate that. I hate that. I don't think any player, I don't care
it's
if you're on a winning team or a losing team, if you're going to disrespect and taunt the officials, I don't care mm-hmm. if you're on a winning team. That should not matter. You should be penalized the same way that anybody else is. And I think that everybody, when you're playing the Warriors, including the officials, get so tied up in just kind of the aura that Steph Curry mm-hmm. creates. And you just, it's almost
everybody's
like you
in
just want to stare at him.
Yes.
And you ignore the fact that this annoying loudmouth is over here barking at you the entire time. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting because, yes, as I said earlier, it's like, okay, yeah, the Blazers had a lead. But everyone expects that Golden State is going to come back in it and win it. Mm-hmm. That's just an expectation that they have built up now and they deserve it because they're a good team. But they're boring without Steph.
You didn't even like watching them last night.
They're a little bit boring without him. And that's crazy because they're good. Mm-hmm. If the Kings had that roster minus Steph Curry, if that was the Sacramento Kings, we would love it.
Oh, absolutely.
It'd be like, yeah, I'll take it because they're going to win a buttload of games.
Absolutely.
But because of the Steph factor, you're like, boring. I don't like watching them.
It clouds the fact that they've got a loud mouth in Draymond Green.
Yeah.
They set moving screens every time down the court.
Like every team
Steve
in the NBA.
Steve Kerr is definitely the passive-aggressive post-it note guy that spends his whole conversation with you either mimicking his golf swing or looking at his cell phone. Okay? And this is, maybe it's just the intensity of the playoffs because last year when they were going through, I didn't feel this way. I've never been more irritated with the Golden State Warriors than I was last night, and I'm trying to nail it down. I could picture it as a Kings fan. I could picture if the Kings were somehow in a playoff series with this team, all of the things that would make my blood boil,
right.
just like the Lakers did back in the day. Whether it is Draymond or Kerr or the moving screens or friggin' Festus Ezeli, that guy's not supposed to be any good. Leandro Barbosa's 80 years old, okay? You should let that guy shoot the ball every time
every
he
time.
Gets it. Anderson Varejao. What? I just... And then you put Steph out there,
it's
and
like,
it just
oh,
it becomes
it's like the clouds open
the Harlem
up and
Globetrotters,
the angels
baby.
Start singing.
It's
and
a thing of beauty.
Yes, and that's the thing.
Birds are chirping.
He makes everybody likable because he is so likable. And how that's rare when you have a superstar. It's maybe a little bit like Steve Nash was one of those guys when he was winning MVPs. Like it don't matter if you root for the team he's playing on or not. It's like one of those guys. You're like, oh my gosh, I could go and sit down and have a beer with this dude mm-hmm. and just talk. I like him. Mm-hmm. I like him as a person. I want to watch him. There's nothing that he does on the floor that is demonstrative and unlikable. You don't think that he's an ass. You're like, man, I want to be his buddy, you know? And that's Steph.
And that's kind of the other part of it, too, that you touched on that gets overshadowed about Steph because of his amazing skill. That guy might be the most arrogant player in the league right now.
You think so?
He might be the most arrogant, cocky player on the planet, and nobody cares, myself included, because he's earned it.
How many superstars, when you think about like Kobe, LeBron, Michael, and you go back and you look at all the superstars that the NBA has had, how many of them were likable? So many. I mean, you could appreciate that. Like, I hate Kobe Bryant, but I loved his game.
Yeah. Are you talking on or off the court? Because we can get to that. And I mean that's
both.
You're right.
There's nothing he does on or off the court. Like off the court, he's taking pictures with his wife and his kids on mm-hmm. Parent Magazine. Come on now.
There's a lot to get into there that makes him unique and different from those guys. We'll break it all down. Plus, we see Scott on the phone. If you want to jump in, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We'll get to you, Scott. We also got Scott Bear coming up at 8:10, talk some Raiders, and Brian Callen going to be on at 8:30. He's doing the Fighter and the Kid podcast live at Calusa Casino, so we'll chat with him, talk about that, the upcoming UFC event. More of The Drive on the way at Sports 1140 KHTK. What is the matter with you?
He was so excited about this rejoiner that he forgot what station we were.
You knew this was coming?
KRLP or something?
KRLP. KXTL.
I always get the right letter, or the first letter right first. Letter.
Yeah, well, K, I mean, you better.
Star Wars.
What is it, east of the, west of the Mississippi, something like that? Anyway, it's Star Wars Day.
I think we need to verify, you know, some things or maybe defend ourselves is maybe the better word. So now we've got the text line pulled up, finally.
I don't defend myself against those heathens.
We've got the Twitter machine, obviously. It's like, the Warriors are no more annoying than when the Kings were good. Vlade complained like Draymond. Don't be haters.
Sure.
Dude, I can hate Draymond Green's demonstrative behavior if I want to. I don't need to go down the list of all the NBA players that I thought were annoying because of their behavior. But I will say this, like going back to the conversation, Nate, about Steph. Is he the most likable superstar that has ever been in the game?
You mean genuinely likable?
Yeah.
Because, you know,
is it because he looks like he's 12?
It could be. I mean, it could be the fact that,
and
again,
he's like 5'2"?
People, what's it? He listed at like 6'3", too, something
Man,
like that.
I'm 6'3". He's not 6'3".
He's not. Okay.
Yeah.
That, you know, because there's something that seems genuine about Steph. With Mike, his image was so carefully crafted.
Right.
I mean, likable, yes, obviously. The guy sold, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of shoes with his logo on it. And it wasn't really until after he retired that people realized exactly how much of a psychopathic ass Michael Jordan was.
But everyone wanted to see him play.
At the time, though, would you say that Mike was unlikable? Like, you know, early 90s?
I don't think anybody was, like, so fawning
over him as a person.
I mean, as a player, like, you...
Yeah, he's not, like, bringing his kids to press conferences.
Oh,
Mike
man.
Never did that stuff.
Is it the Riley Curry effect? Is that why Steph is so likable?
Well, and, you know, there's... The guy's an NBA darling. Everyone knows his dad. I mean, that's Dell's kid, right?
Yeah.
That helps with it. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't just matter that it's Dell Curry, but I think in any walk of life, you know, so-and-so's kid is always going to be looked at just a little bit better, right?
Right.
We know their dad. Their dad's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's got good kids.
And the wife is like mm-hmm. super respectable and is going to have her cooking show and her cookbook and like all these
just
like
too
I don't
damn
know
it's nice like, and normal.
It's like they're not even just it's not even just like where he is a marketable player. His entire family has become
a
money machine.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because is Mrs. Curry going to have a cooking show and a cookbook and all this if she's not posting things on Twitter initially about, man, I don't understand why women just don't cover it up. Respect yourself. Men are going to respect you more. And it's
wholesome.
Like she's wholesome.
Yeah, exactly. They're the super. Listen, this is a tough way to put it, but this is the superstar family that you can sell to the flyover states
right.
in the NBA. Yeah. I mean, basically, that's what it is, right? Like, you can't sell DeMarcus Cousins to people like you can Steph Curry.
He's hard to sell, period, for a lot of people. Like, and he's one of those guys that even, like, other analysts, other NBA people, they respect his game.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean they like him.
Steph's not scary. He doesn't scare people. He's a guy that you feel like you could invite into your home for dinner, right? And DeMarcus has said it himself. He's scary. DeMarcus, he's big. He's a scary guy, right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I want to say yesterday I read an article about, it came up about past Warriors players that were part of that team that was the 17-win team.
Vontigo coming.
Yes, and they're talking about, like, how awful that was to go through and how happy they are for the organization, but most importantly, the fans that had to endure those 17. It's kind of like if this is Philly in 10 years, mm-hmm. right? If they're a good team again and contending for a title and fun to watch.
You'll see some sit-down interview with TJ McConnell about his 13-win season on the Sixers.
But are Warriors fans annoying? Like this guy on the text line, Warriors fans are definitely as annoying as Lakers fans. Remember them booing Joe Lacob? Yes, absolutely, during the Chris Mullin jersey retirement because he traded Monte Ellis. And yeah, but guess what? They figured it out. That was maybe the beginning of when they were figuring it out, and where it may not be popular and the fans may have booed them. You can kind of understand why they did, because they were bad for so long. And then they traded a player like Monte Ellis and I loved his game, but at the same time, I'm like, he's one of those players. You can have a great game, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win with him.
Right.
What
exactly.
has he done since he left?
Monte knows the ball's round. I mean, that's
which
it.
Is important.
That's his deal. All right, Scott's been patient waiting on line one. We got a lot of ways we can break down this thoroughly unlikable Warriors team. I say that partially sarcastically. Hey, what's up, Scott? Did I do the wrong button? Let me try this again. We'll get there. Let's try this. Scott, what's happening, pal? Thanks for holding.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, love the show.
Thank you.
Miss Dave's unique brand of insanity. I know.
Yeah.
We do, too.
You guys are hanging in there. I got a couple of comments. First of all, back to the Michael Jordan thing that you guys were just talking about. When he was at his prime, we didn't have Twitter and Instagram and instant everything. And so his lifestyle off the basketball court wasn't as readily available.
Unless you were at a bar in whatever NBA city, right?
Right, exactly. So, we find out that he was kind of a scumbag. But, you know, he's still, in my opinion, one of the greatest players ever, and that's all that.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The second part is last night's game, I thought what you saw is you saw Portland come out, they're playing loose, they got nothing to lose, they're throwing everything they have at the Warriors, and the Warriors came out a little bit flat, and then at toward the end, I don't know, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter when the Warriors made their run, you could just see Portland just tighten up, and it was turnover and missed shot. And let's be real, if CP3 and Griffin don't go down, the Warriors aren't playing Portland. They're playing most likely the Clippers, and a veteran team like that is not going to wilt under the pressure because Portland hasn't been to the playoffs in a while.
Well, they were there last. They were there last year.
I could see the inexperience, though.
Okay, well, here I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying, absolutely. And I think that there's this thing with teams that face the Warriors that when Curry is not on the floor, that's like the only time you're like, man, we've really we could do this. It's mm-hmm. going to take, you know, some theatrics, and we're going to have to really play a complete game. But he's like one of those people in this league right now. And I don't know if there is another superstar in the league right now when you say, if he's not on the floor, we absolutely have a chance of winning. But if he is, it's donezo, right? Yeah. Is there, because you look at superstars, I think, in this league right now, and thank you, Scott. You look at superstars in this league right now, like Russell Westbrook, I think, should finish second in MVP voting this year. He's also a player that's like, okay, maybe not very likable for some people. Kevin Durant and all of their post-game press conferences with the Charlie Villanueva stuff, like, they're tough to like sometimes because their arrogance is a different brand of arrogance. I think maybe why Steph is likable is because his arrogance really is limited to what he does on the floor. Mm-hmm. It doesn't leak out into being this thing where he brings it into news conferences and says comments. No, you can't. You got your daughter next to you. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep it, you know, G right. or what have you. But I don't know. I think that Portland, I actually felt that they had a chance, even with CP3 and Blake healthy, to knock off the Clippers, because I think the Clippers have other problems other than that. But you got to expect the Warriors, you know, in this series. Yeah, they're going to fight and they're going to believe that they can win. But I don't think Portland should think that they can't.
Right. Well, they showed that they were capable of it. I think Scott was absolutely right. You could see him tighten up. But there was
Sphincters got tight. That
yeah,
happens.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's going to happen with a team like the Warriors, too, where you're just waiting for that shoe to drop. You know, if you're the Blazers, you're like, it can't go this well for 48 minutes.
Right.
It's not going to go
right.
this well for 48 yeah. minutes. When's this coming? But there was one major, major mismatch that I think was Portland's downfall last night. Tell you what that was when we come back. It's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK. You going to go through the whole mix here?
This is Lord of the Rings. This is a real movie.
This sounds... Read the books. Nerd.
I love the books too.
Uh-huh. Did you read the books?
All three of them and the Silmarillion.
God, you're such a geek. I didn't even realize that.
I have no idea.
They're amazing.
Wow. Well, I any book, honestly, any book is compared to the movie is...
Oh, the movies were amazing too, though.
Yeah, well, the movies were great, and I think a lot of that's the visual effects, right?
A little bit lengthy.
A little bit lengthy. You know what the great thing is about the Lord of the Rings movies, and I love them? But after you watch them one time, it is the perfect movie to put on if you just need to fall asleep.
Whoa.
It's true. I don't know. It's something like the music right there. Like, it's something about, I can do the same thing with the Harry Potter movies. No joke. I can put that on and
don't
I'm
don't you compare
out.
Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter ever again.
Hey now.
Yeah, this is starting to
Matt's
hurt a little bit.
Matt's getting all upset.
Hey, it's The Drive on KHTK. It's a little show we do. We'll take you right up till 9 o'clock. Just Nate and Katie with you today. Dave's out nursing himself back to health. He'll be back. We miss him. We know you do, too. But he's okay. So don't worry about
it. Yeah, just a migraine. That's nothing.
I mean, we've got treats for you today. We do have Scott Bear coming up at 8:10. He's a real bear. Going to talk about the Raiders draft picks. Comedian Brian Callen coming up at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. He's doing the Fighter and the Kid podcast. That's going to be live at Calusa Casino this Friday, so we'll talk to him about that. He's going to be featuring UFC heavyweight Brendan Schaub, and we're going to have maybe a pair of tickets to give away for that. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Warriors, Blazers, we were talking about Steph Curry, his likability. Got a couple phone calls I'm going to get here in just a second. I don't know, Katie, we just brought up the general likability of this Warriors team without Steph Curry.
Right.
I'm not sure if it is the intensity of the playoffs. I'm not sure if I'm like secretly a Blazers fan or something like that, because I didn't even really feel that way in game one. But last night, I found myself rooting for Portland. And then when I saw it slipping away and the Warriors are kind of doing their thing and the moving screens and Draymond's yakking, yeah. It just...
If you're a basketball fan, you have to appreciate watching the Warriors, mm-hmm. because I think they're one of the most complete teams that I remember ever watching, in the sense of offense and defense and how their roster is so stacked, mm-hmm. but yet they have all these guys that play together and know what it takes to win and are willing to take maybe a different role in order to, you know, like Klay Thompson, for example. I think he could be a legitimate, you know, superstar on another team and run a team and do really well winning games. But he kind of is the second man, you know, to Steph Curry. And that's what, you know, it's great to watch them. But at the same time, you kind of always in sports want to root for that underdog. And with what Portland has done this year, and they were not expected not only to not be in the playoffs, but they were expected to be bottom rung. They lost four of their five starters. They have a roster of guys where most of them, you have to get on Wikipedia and be like, who is this guy? Where did he come from? You know, it's like unknowns. They're unknowns. Mm-hmm. But Terry Stotts has done such a good job coaching that team. It's like, yeah, of course. You kind of want to root for them.
Pull for them a little bit. Well, there was one, before we get to these calls here, there was one mismatch that really killed the Blazers last night because I thought McCollum and Lillard played well.
Mm-hmm.
Mason Plumlee was just overmatched last night.
Yeah.
I mean, in every way, shape, and form. And it's hard to believe that a couple of years ago there was a debate whether or not him or DeMarcus Cousins was going to be the guy on the national team. Because last night, Mason Plumlee showed he has no – he cannot compete with Festus Ezeli.
Which is crazy,
and Draymond
right?
Green. I know.
It's
just
crazy.
I never thought I'd be saying that. Because Mason Plumlee's really a pretty good athlete. He's a player I generally like. But you could see – you could just kind of see their lack of firepower last night when Mason Plumlee's got to get big playoff minutes and they're sending his stuff in the seventh row.
That goes back to the fact, I think that realistically, you know, poor Mason, but Draymond Green is a really tough matchup mm-hmm. for just about anybody in this league because he's one of those guys that not only can he play multiple positions and kind of defend, it's really tough for a big person in the game to be able to defend someone when the ball is running through their hands. And that's one mm-hmm. of the things, like Draymond led that team in assists this year. And post players, bigs, are not used to defending someone that is facilitating the offense. You mm-hmm. kind of saw it in Chicago with Joakim Noah when Derrick Rose was out and how they used him to facilitate that offense. And it's difficult to defend that.
You're
in
just
this,
not used to
you're
it
you're
as a big.
You're not used to it. You can stop. Okay, yeah, okay. I know my low post defense. I can try and stay in front of you when you put it on the floor. But when you are coming off the screens, there was that inbound play when they lost that game in the first round where Steve Kerr drew up that inbound play to win the game and put the ball in Draymond Green's hand. And, of mm-hmm. course, he dribbled it off of his foot, and that was unfortunate. But
he's their decision maker.
He's that guy, and you're not used to, as a big, having to defend that. He's coming off screens. He's doing rubs. Like, it's crazy.
Let's check in with Jerry in Sacramento. Hey, Jerry, what's up, buddy?
I'm making the commute. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Hey, I was watching that game last night with Portland and Golden State, and I'm thinking – here's Portland, like Katie was saying, that's got four out of five new starters. And I'm thinking about our Sacramento Kings with new ownership, our superstar center, and our Hall of Fame coach. And what the hell happened? How does a team with four out of five new starters just blow right by the Kings in the standings? I think that just shows how far we really have to go and just how bad of a team we really are. I mean, it's just puzzling to me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jerry. I mean, it's a tough one. I'll tell you what the biggest difference is to me, and you can tell me if you agree or not. The position that your star player plays. It's a guards league now.
It is.
To me, it's just that simple. And I mean, the Kings have a lot of other problems that the Blazers aren't dealing with. But in a lot of ways, on-court product, that's what it comes down to for me. The Kings don't have an elite guard that can score.
No, they don't have that. And I love Darren Collison, and I think that he is such a solid piece on this team. And he could very well be a great, you know, starting point guard for the Kings. But the problem for the Kings is they have multiple, you know, issues in basically every roster spot.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, I think when you look at a team like the Warriors and even a team like Portland, who has lost so many people, what they did is they found guys that understand their role and do it efficiently. They don't have to get, you know, 30 from Damian Lillard every night or 20 from McCollum to be successful, because when you have the ability to have every other guy that steps on the floor contribute in the way that they're meant to and not be streaky and up and down. That was a problem for the Kings. You have guys that have the potential of, like Ben McLemore is one of those guys who's like, yeah, you know what? When you look at his shot, he should be much better.
Mm-hmm.
He's streaky. He's never figured it out. It's
looks
about
good,
finding the pieces
fall.
That complement each other. And Portland has done that. And obviously Golden State has done that because they have guys on their bench that are role players that could be starters for other teams in this league, and they've all accepted their role. They contribute the way that they're supposed to, because guess what? I mean, it's pretty easy to do that. Let's be honest, when you're winning, it's pretty easy to accept that role.
And how much value is there, make this quick here, but in being able to, in the Warriors' case, your two best shooters in Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, you get down to the end of a game, you don't have to worry about one of those guys bringing the ball up. You can run them off screens. Yep. You don't. That's one less responsibility because you know you can trust Draymond Green to set them up.
To having that ability. I mean, that's one of the things that make them, and the way that they run their offense and how they, you know, facilitate it. It's one of those things that makes them difficult to guard, and it obviously lends to their success.
We got an hour in the books. We're going to do two more, including one with Scott Baer and Brian Callen. Not together, but, you know, you'll have to hang around for that in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, we got your word that pays. A whole bunch of money coming for you at 720. It's The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK.